Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain that will nourish the soil, that will bring forth the life and flowers and fruit and vegetables and trees, that will sustain the animals, that will sustain us all. Lord, we thank you especially for your word that does sustain us, that gives us the spiritual food that we need. And God, we pray that as we stand here today, or as we sit, as we are in your presence in your sanctuary, that your Holy Spirit would indeed do what our prayer of illumination asked for the Holy Spirit to do, that you would set us on fire for you, Lord, and that you would give us hope and strength, not in of ourselves, not in what we can do, not in all of that, but in you. Because when we are weak, you are strong. Let us abide in your strength today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever feel like some doors have been closed in you or your life? Well, that's exactly what happened or was happening to Paul and Silas just prior to this passage. You see, we didn't read this, but if we go back to Acts chapter 16, verse 6, we see that Paul and Silas, they had apparently tried to preach the good news in the province of Asia, but the Holy Spirit stopped them from going there. Then in verse 7, they tried to enter into Bithynia. But the text says again that Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, again prevented them from doing that. See, Paul had had these great successful missions, like spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and going to churches in Syria and Cilicia, strengthening them there. But we can see in this text that Paul and Silas were at a crossroads. They had no idea where to go or what to do. He had had such success in going where the Lord called him to go, but now he thought that he was to go to Asia and Bithynia, which incidentally appears to be in near Russia, modern-day Russia. Bithynia is there. But in both instances, the Spirit shut the door on him from going there. So what was going on? And that's, of course, where we pick up today. And see, I don't know about you, but I've had some doors shut on me in my life. Things that I thought I was supposed to be doing, places I thought I was supposed to be going to, but God just said no. No, not there. Don't do that. In fact, some of those doors were slammed in my face. And so I can relate to Paul here. But what does he do? He keeps praying. He doesn't give up. He pushes on. He perseveres. He trusts in the Lord. It's remarkable. And the Lord does deliver. The Lord speaks to him through a vision after some time. You know, this isn't right away. The vision is not of the Lord talking to Paul specifically, but reveals a Macedonian man asking for Paul and Silas, his new counterpart, to come and help them. That's what the text says in verse 9, to come and to help them. And so the crew of Paul, Silas, and Luke, because Luke inserts himself here, the text goes from they, talking about them, to we. So we can assume that Luke is with them now. They get together and they decide that they're to go because they feel the Lord is calling them to go to Macedonia. So there's a clear picture now. And so they head out. They go on this Paul's secondary missionary journey and they make their way to Philippi, which was in Macedonia, going where the Spirit had led them. See, the door had been closed on Asia and shut on Bithynia, but it was opened to Macedonia. And so they went across the Mediterranean Sea ready to help out these Macedonians by sharing the gospel of Christ with them. And so they get to Philippi, finally. And then everything works out right away, right? That's how it works, right? Everything works out just right away. People are just lining up to hear this good news, right? Well, no. That isn't what happens at all, actually. It takes some time, you see. The text says in verse 12, it says that they stayed there in this district of Philippi for several days. So they get there. They traveled all this way. They went about 150 miles. They crossed the Mediterranean Sea, leaving home, going across the Mediterranean Sea into Europe, basically. And they wait. They have to wait several days for anything to happen. The door had not yet been opened. And so the group goes down on the Sabbath day to this prayer meeting outside of the city because the city didn't have enough male Jews to have a synagogue. I read in a few different places that they needed about 10 men, male Jews, to have a synagogue in a city. And the reality is, even besides that, the Romans probably didn't even want a synagogue there in that town because they only kind of tolerated the Jews. They didn't want them there. And so there was no synagogue in Philippi. So again, it seems, if we can infer a little bit, and I don't know, maybe they just guessed that the prayer meeting would be down there, but the Spirit seems to lead them down to the river. And they find this prayer meeting down there, and they begin to speak to the women there. Notice, text says nothing about men. Women, you can get excited about that. The text says nothing about men. And so Paul goes and he proclaims this good news to the women that are gathered there. And a foreigner of all people named Lydia, a woman who owned her own business that sold purple cloth. And remember, purple cloth was expensive, so she was probably pretty well off herself. Well, this foreigner Lydia from the city of Thyatira in the province of Asia. Remember, Paul was restricted from going to Asia. And she's from Asia. Her heart was opened by the Lord in this meeting. And she and her entire household were baptized because she responded to Paul's message of good news and believed. And so one door closed, and then a second door closed, and a third door opened 150 miles away, several days later, outside of the city, in the heart of a foreigner from Asia, the same province that Paul had tried to go to, but was prevented from entering by the Spirit of the Lord. God was moving in this in a big way. And Lydia, just like she welcomed the good news of Jesus Christ into her heart, welcomed Paul, Silas, and Luke into her home for several days. She responded to the word in joy and hospitality. And so there's so much that we can take from this passage that we can take to heart for today. But one thing I think we need to remember is that the Spirit guides us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will lead us where we are to go if we let God lead us, right? If we are seeking the will of God and are willing to go and to let go of what we want, which is a hard thing to do. And we need to remember that we might get a couple of doors, or 10, slammed in our face before the right door opens up. It might not feel great. It might feel awful. It might hurt really bad. Paul had been so successful in preaching the word, and now he was being stopped. You know, why? We don't know why at that point, but now here he was preaching the word miles away to new people in different places in Europe that would carry on that word. This was good news. This was life from death. Not only that, but those people in Philippi, they would start a church that Paul, we know, would write at least one letter to, known as the letter to the Philippians. In the New Testament, we have that letter as a record of the fruit that Paul bore before going where the Spirit led him to Philippi. But there's something else that we always need to remember too. And I think this is important because I think we don't think about this. That it isn't up to us to bring God to the people. You might say, Pastor Chris, isn't that what Paul did here? Certainly he brought them Jesus, right? Well, he did. And I see that point, but we forget that God was already there. God was already there with them, had already convicted them, even Gentiles, foreigners, as Lydia was, to go outside of the city, to go down to the river, and to pray to this God of the Jews, to worship God. And so Paul, in this, did not bring them God. They had God. Because the Holy Spirit goes before us and is working in all people. That's what our Wesleyan heritage tells us, that God works in people preveniently before they even know God working in their lives. God is working in each of us, in all people everywhere, inviting them into relationship before we can say anything to them about Christ. God loves everyone, shows no favoritism. We saw that last week in Peter, but the graceful offer of relationship and salvation is given to everyone and has to be responded to as well. And so Lydia responds in affirmation to Paul's preaching of Christ in her life and to these people. And in testimony to that faith, she welcomes Paul, is baptized, and welcomes Paul and his crew into her home. So God had gone before Paul. And we can only see this in retrospect in all of our lives, right? God had gone before Paul, setting up this very moment so that Lydia and her household could be told the good news so that they might believe. And Paul went at the promptings of the Spirit and the church. And the church in Philippi was born through these promptings. And so, brothers and sisters, if you're praying and seeking God's will for your life and one door shuts, keep praying. If you're still seeking and another door slams, keep seeking. If a third and a fourth continue to close, don't give up, but continue to seek the Lord, trusting in Him, because at the right moment, God is going to work in you, through you, and go before you, and you just might bring other people to know of the God who has been calling out to them their whole lives, and fulfill that purpose that God has given each of you. Telling others that there is something more. That there is something more, and that it is in the death and the resurrection of Christ that they can have life in Him too. And this is through persistence in the Lord, knocking at the door of God through prayer. And of course, it's all through the grace of God who called you to knock in the first place by that prevenient grace of the Holy Spirit. Lydia's life was changed. The church's course and history was changed because of Paul and Silas's faithfulness in following the promptings of the Spirit of God. Even when it seemed that they were failing and falling, they didn't give up. They pressed on. And so I urge you, don't give up. Press on. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep knocking on the door and keep trusting that the right door will be opened. At just the right time. Probably won't be your time. I'm sure many of us have learned that. But it will be opened at the right time. God's time. Amen.